edition of the Nerd Watch podcast. I, of course, am G Money. I am here on Hurricane Olivia Eve, and we are here on the lovely island of Maui, and we are here with a bunch of nerds, minus a couple of the ladies, and of course Gannon, who is not here as well. Yeah, all of the ladies who are not here. We wish they were here because we miss them. Awful. But speaking of not missing anybody, here's a guy who was all the way in Oregon. Is that not right? Is that where it is?
That is right.
That's right.
That is correct.
He was on the Pacific Northwest, as they say. I guess it's a loony lib town, isn't it? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, he is the comic book artist extraordinaire, the man who is the author of the Kukui Project. By the way, can you show everybody on camera what you're drawing right there, or is that top secret? Oh, top secret, fine, okay. Well, he's the author of the Kukui Project and artist. He's also the author of my my second favorite comic book right now, Disco Thunder Groovebone.
Is that like second right behind Trump's Space Force?
No, not Space Force, but What's-His-Face's Trump comic book. I love it. I think it's hilarious.
Ben Dunn's The Tremendous Trump.
The Tremendous Trump, it's great. So I love that one, but yours is second. So, says something about my character. But I still like it.
Yeah, you're a jerk.
He is tremendously coiffed, the very good-looking, the very talented comic book artist extraordinaire. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Todd Bernardi.
Yeah! He...
Todd Bernardi's in
Can
the
I
house.
Can I take a knee?
Just me?
Yeah, we love Todd Bernardi. Also, joining us tonight...
Format, we need more enthusiasm.
Yeah. He is the gaming guru, the man who has been busy slaying monsters and Marvel villains on his PS4 as of late. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the master of card tricks. Give it up for Format. He's in the house tonight.
And Dove Magic.
Oh, and Dove
he
Magic.
Does no card tricks.
He does no card tricks.
Yeah, don't lie.
Yeah.
That's the power of deception.
That's what it is. Also, joining us tonight, he is the very sensitive cinema scholar. He is better known as the Cinnamon Scallop. He's also the master of hard media and the man brave enough to bring in a pink thermos to the Nerd Watch tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Aaron. He's in the house tonight.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
I like you, but I'm not. I want to be. I don't want to be more enthusiastic than Format.
Yeah, I was
like,
enthusiastic for you. Yeah,
last.
That's true.
Last, but certainly not least, he is the comic master. He is the godfather of comic books. He is the chairman of the comic book board, and he is also. He's not just a doctor anymore.
I'm not
ladies
a doctor.
And ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Captain Leaks. He's in the house
captain.
Tonight. Thanks
captain
to Ron
Tony.
Katagai.
Technically, I'm also not a captain.
Captain Leaks.
That's very nice of you guys.
Captain Leaks is
to
in the
keep
house.
On bestowing upon me. I didn't earn.
He is Captain Dr. Leaks
it's
or Dr.
Confusing.
Captain Leaks. I don't know whatever
Carl.
The case may be, but big shout out to Ron Katagai.
How about Bishop Cardinal Leaks?
Oh,
whoa.
Man. Wow.
Someone thinks awfully high of himself.
Yeah, way high of himself.
How about Grand Moff Leaks?
Yeah, Grand Moff Leaks. I like that. Well, let's get right to it, shall we? Because we got a lot to talk about in this hour. Let's get to our comic book list for the week. It is New Comic Book Wednesday every single Wednesday right here in the heart of Kahului Town at 115
what?
South Waikea Avenue. So
every
let's
Wednesday?
Every single what? Wednesday. Only when Diamond decides not to distribute on that day, it is every single
well,
Wednesday.
Well, that was Labor Day last week.
Labor
actually,
Day,
this
hurricane.
Week, Expeditors told me my shipment's still on the way. So
wow.
It's looking like it's on track to arrive tomorrow.
Sweet
so.
Beans. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's find out what's sweet new this beans. Week
if,
in the
if,
world
he's talking about Azuki.
Of
Azuki
comic books.
If Kahului floods, they can just they don't even have to get it off the boat. They can just take
yeah,
the
they
boat
just move it.
Yeah.
Let's find out what's new
water.
This week. In the world of the comic
oh, stop. Just stop.
Is that, that's...
So we've got a new issue of the Ryan Ottley Amazing Spider-Man, issue
nice.
Number 5.
Yeah, that guy.
Who you saw at Rose City, right?
Yeah, I did. We touched tips.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. Pencil tips?
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to agree with what you said.
I showed him my Deadpool baby penis, and he thought it was hilarious.
And he touched it?
No. Yeah. And then we...
Baby?
Whoa.
What?
Yeah, and then we talked a little bit about Invincible. He told me he would not do a commission for me.
Really?
And he's like, "Please, sir, get out of the line." No,
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, he signed all my comics. He signed Walking Dead 75 for me, a bunch of Invincible, and then I asked him if you know, like, if there's any way he could recreate the cover of the sketchbook that he did, and he said, "No, I'm not going to do that. It's going to be too much work, and I could take your money, but I'll probably never finish it." And he had the original art for sale, but he wasn't going to sell it to me because he likes it too much.
Ryan Otley was working with Kirkman on Outcast, right?
Or was it? No, that was Paul Azaceta. Who you interviewed?
Sorry, in an interview.
You
right.
Guy.
Sorry. Yeah, just making sure. I was just testing you. But anyway.
Otley's hilarious. We have
sure
we
is.
We have a lot of laughs.
He worked on The Walking Dead, and he also worked on Invincible. He was the artist on the entire run, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, from
141 issues.
From issue 8 to like 144.
144.
And then Corey Walker was the guy that did all the other issues.
Doesn't he do that?
Corey Walker created it with.
Oh, I thought Otley was the creator.
Doesn't he do that cool Grizzly Shark one?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
That's a cool one.
Yeah.
Grizzly, he does a lot of
Grizzly
fun
bear
stuff.
And
nice. Well, what else is on that list,
Archie,
sir?
1941, issue 105. Good old wholesome Golden Age Archie.
Is he going off to war?
Yeah, he just got drafted, unfortunately.
He just got drafted.
See you later, Archie.
He's just not getting home.
Bazooka Joe.
I'd want him in the trench with me.
Yeah, really.
It's like, you got that bazooka, right, Joe?
Bazooka
That's
Joe.
That's not just a name, right?
Bazooka Joe's going to be in...
anybody ever ask where Bazooka Joe... How he got his injury, and maybe that's how he gets his injury, because he wears the eye patch.
You know, for the longest time, I totally forgot that he had an eye patch.
Right?
And then I saw a comic, and I was like,
yeah.
Oh, crap.
He got an eye patch. He lost it in the war.
He's handy capable.
They never said how he did it.
He blew a bubble that was too large, and it popped in his eye.
Is that... Legit?
No, I don't. Maybe. Like, I don't know.
That's why the drawings of him are always one-dimensional, because it's on the bubblegum wrapper.
Jay Lynch like drew every Bazooka Joe comic strip from like 1966 to 1990.
Really? And Jay Lynch is your godfather-in-law?
Godfather-in-law. Yeah.
Nadia's godfather.
I was like, Jay Lynch?
Jay Lynch, the creator. The Jay Lynch.
I'm like,
what?
The creator of Garbage Pail Kids and Mouse.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
As well as.
So why don't you ask?
Well, he created Art Spiegelman was Mouse.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Art Spiegelman.
He created Phoebe and the Pigeon People, and he created...
He did a lot of underground comics in the 70s.
All right, we're missing the point here. Why does he have the eye patch? Ask him.
He passed away.
Yeah, that's so disrespectful.
We talked about it on the show last year.
Did we really?
Yeah.
Didn't mean to be insensitive.
She doesn't remember anything.
I don't remember anything.
Catwoman number 3.
Yeah.
Champions number 24.
Is she still not married to Batman?
Yeah. Kay. That's stupid. Daredevil number 608. You know, they shipped us the hardcover wedding special last week.
Nice.
And I was like, what a kick in the balls to all retailers from DC Comics.
Yeah.
To ruin the wedding like that and still expect us to pay for they made us order it 2 months in advance.
At full freight.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks a lot, DC.
Yeah, DC.
Yeah, I bet if they had gone through with the marriage,
Jim.
Alfred would be changing her litter box.
Hey, I wouldn't mind changing her litter box.
Yeah, I bet.
Detective Comics number 988.
What does that mean?
Let's move past it.
As a doctor, can you speak?
Let's
to
just
that?
You know, doctors change litter all the time.
Oh, okay.
Dinosaurs number 2. See how much better it is when you just accept it and move on. Dinosaurs number 2, which I'm actually kind of excited for.
Cool.
And come to find out, you know, I made fun of it when it first came out, but actually the creator who created the cartoon is writing the comic as well.
Sweet.
So there's a link to the original cartoon, so I'm giving it a chance.
Sweet.
Too bad the comic doesn't start with that awesome theme song.
Dinosaur. It's so
Such
good.
A great theme song.
Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Exiles, number 8. Fantastic Four, number 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right, Todd. Fantastic Four. It's the silver, the first family of Marvel.
Fantastic Four, 2.
Flash.
Four, 2.
The Flash,
it's
number
like a smart car.
54.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Hawkman, number 4. Headlopper, number 9. Wow, that book's still going? I thought it was over. Headlopper,
there's more heads.
It's been a while since we had an issue, I think.
Yeah.
Heavy Metal, issue 291. I love Heavy Metal, so that's an awesome one. Hey Kids Comics, number 2, by... Friend of the gays, Howard Chaykin.
And the trans.
And the trans. And the Islams.
I think
and the Muslims.
The more he talks, the more I like him.
Yeah.
He's just a crotchety old guy.
Yeah.
He's
crotchety is right.
Though.
The more
he's
I talk
liberal,
about.
But is, you know, when you when it gets to that, you take the you, it's like libertarian.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, those lumberjack dudes who like, oh, yeah. you know, they say all kinds of stuff about not paying taxes, but then they're all into eugenics and stuff.
Right?
You're like, hey, tone it down, guy. I don't like where you're going with this. House of Whispers number one. That's a DC comic, Todd. Can you illuminate?
Can you
us
expound
on that?
No. It might be the new thing from Capullo with Swamp Thing.
Oh, maybe, yeah. House of, yeah. They,
can you say Capullo?
Yeah, you can.
Iceman.
I heard that, speaking of Swamp Thing, I heard that the DC...
he's going to be practical effects.
It's practical effects, and I heard it's going to be, apparently it's going to be this horror rated series. That's what I heard.
Yeah. It's about time. I mean, if you're doing a streaming service, you have to take advantage of that.
It's going to be...
Iron Fist dropped a few F-bombs. Nah, just kidding.
Wow.
I don't think he did. He killed a guy, though.
Mm-hmm.
All those Marvel guys kill a guy, and then they're...
It takes a real man to kill 50 with a machine gun like Batman.
Whoa.
Or Punisher.
I'm
going to
let
mean,
that go, because Gannon's not here. He was going to...
Yeah, but all the guys
that
Punisher killed deserved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he would defend that to the hilt.
Some of those guys were just hanging out at the docks.
Yeah.
Batman gunned him down.
Whatever.
Wow.
Like, I'm getting off my shift. Oh, Batman!
That's not what happened.
That's not what happened.
I've been out at sea for so many months.
Yeah,
I'm so
just
glad to be
can't wait to see my wife. Is that the bad way? Iceman.
So happy to finally see my family.
Iceman. See, we should do it from that point of view.
I like to see that.
Iceman number 1 of 5. Immortal Man number 6. Infinity Wars number 3 of 6, which has been pretty interesting. Gamora has been revealed to be the evil, whatever her face was, with the hoodie on it.
Oh, good. I'm glad she's dead.
No, she's still alive. Mage Hero Denied.
I was a little disappointed with that reveal.
Yeah. Mage Hero Denied number 12 of 15.
Nice.
Marvel Rising Omega number 1. Mm-hmm. Again, part of the Marvel Rising cartoon series that's going to come up with all those great diverse characters like Squirrel Girl and Spider-Gwen
nice.
And Kamala Khan, Ms. Marvel.
Right.
Right.
Nice.
Yep.
Diversity yeah. from
diversity.
Comics.
Diversity. We're all looking forward to it.
I am. Ms. Marvel, number 34. Very diverse comic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People loving it. Oblivion Song by Kirkman and DeFelici, number 7.
Mm. Diversity.
Old Man Logan, number... I don't think there's any difference in Kirkman's. Old Man Logan, number 47.
Those zombies can't be white.
God.
Peter Parker.
They're not. There's some black zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Parker, Spectacular Spider-Man, number 309.
All the white zombies look like Rob Zombie, though.
It's a copyright thing.
It's a copyright. Wow.
They're all more human than human.
Nice.
Plastic Man, number 4 of 6. Rat Queens, number 11.
Ooh, nice.
Runaways, number 13, which I can't wait for the second season of that show. Although the comic book has kind of become a little lackluster.
Which one?
According to some of the readers.
Runaways.
It's very teeny bopper, the comic. Somebody let me peek into the latest issue, and it wasn't as good as the TV show.
Got it.
Sideways number 8, which is, that's DC's Spider-Man,
DC
right?
DC's
Spider-Man. Suicide Squad number 46. Superman number 3, the new Bendis series. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 36.
Woo!
Right?
There was like 3 or 4 Squirrel Girl cosplays at Rose.
What, isn't that a boring comic? If you think about it, isn't that a boring comic?
What?
I mean,
have you ever read the comic?
No, what I'm saying is
she's unbeatable.
If she's unbeatable, it becomes boring, doesn't it?
No, because it always happens off panel.
It's funny.
Oh, okay.
It's like West Coast Avengers. No, it's ironic. Nobody's taking that comic seriously.
So when Thanos is defeated in the movies, it's going to be off
Thanos.
Thanos, sorry.
Can you apologize to him a little bit more sincere, please?
Sorry.
Say it right.
Didn't mean to. Anyway, yeah, I just thought it'd be boring because it's, you know, it's the unbeatable.
It'd be funny.
Come on, gotcha.
She beat Galactus.
Yeah.
Off panel. Weapon H number 7, which is Hulk-verine. Everybody's favorite cash grab.
The sequel's going to be called Preparation H.
Nice.
That's the prequel.
So if, okay, not to get too deep into this.
They're preparing.
But if the Hulk had the skeletal system of Wolverine and the adamantium, would that make him even more powerful?
Obviously.
Maybe you should read the book and find out.
All right, just checking.
Uh-huh.
I'm not much for reading.
Swan the War Chief just walked in.
Oh.
Good.
What's up, Swan?
Wonder Woman number 54. Wrong Earth number 1. All his free promotional copies if you want to check out some independent comic, Todd. Mm-hmm. We're getting free promo copies of that. X-23 number 4. And X-Men Blue number 35.
Fantastic. That's where that is your comic book list for the week right here at Maui Comics and Collectibles, 115 South Waikea Avenue. You want to come pick up comics? You want comics in your subscription box? Do it right here at Maui Comics and Collectibles at 115 South Waikea Avenue.
And DJ is just saying he loves Dinosaucers. I totally agree. Mm-hmm. And when you read the first issue of Dinosaucers the comic, it's the guy who created the cartoon, and he's explaining the origin of the cartoon. And, you know, most people get all hoity-toity and, like, you know, make their art seem deeper than it is. And he's just like, I thought dinosaurs were cool. I thought outer space was cool. I want to have dinosaurs from outer space.
Dinosaurs! Didn't we kind of have that with the dinosaurs show that's all, on ABC?
No, they're not from outer
that's
space.
That's like the first like five panels is him singing the theme song.
Oh. And fist pumping.
That's going to be my introduction for Kukui Project. Nice. It's going to be like, I thought outer space was cool. I thought Hawaiians were cool. I want Hawaiians in space.
There you go. Nice. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen,
Kukui Project.
You can pick up all those comics right here.
Hawaiian saucers.
You can pick up all those comics right here at 115 South Waikea Avenue. And if you happen to be in Lahaina as well, visit our good friends at Game Over Comics. Game Over Comics, a tremendously exciting new comic book shop in Lahaina Town.
This weekend,
extremely.
Fix your mic Sunday. Again. You fell off. What the heck, man? There you go. Now
this weekend. Am I crinkling? I don't want.
No, you're not okay. Crinkling. You're fine.
This Sunday, we had the Night Dollaring Cosplay Workshop here last Sunday. Uh-huh. Thanks for watching the store, by the way, for me. There was a pretty good turnout, right? It looked like it was pretty good. And so
Night Darling's here. Come on.
This Sunday in Lahaina, they're going to be doing it at Game Over Comics.
All right. So for more information, go visit Game Over Comics.
Just remember to bring your own materials. Yes. And kids must be accompanied by an adult. But that's happening Sunday at 7 to 8:30 at Game Over Comics in Lahaina.
That's right.
Night Darling Cosplay Workshop.
For more information, you can hit up Game Over Comics. Just ask for Rex or Arthur at Game Over Comics. That's Rex or
Chris
Arthur
Chris
at Game Over Comics
Chris
in Lahaina Town. All right, gents. We don't have much time, but of course, ComicsGate is on the docket.
That's our show, everybody. Hey,
ComicsGate is on the list. We got to get to some games that came out this week that are very comic book related and some hard media. Let's get right to it, shall we? Said we're going to talk about ComicsGate. We have two professional comic book men in studio, as well as an avid comic book reader as well. So ComicsGate, of course, has become quite the phenomenon. It's actually pretty old. This was like from, what, February of 2018, I think it was? I mean, this is actually...
This goes back to 2017.
17,
well,
that's right.
Well, actually, so... I have with the first incident that like because it's not even really like a movement or an organization of people or anything like although it pretends to be at times and maybe appears to be just because it's the same people behind
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
But the one of the first instances of something happening.
Well, let's break it. Let's break that down. Let's break it down and let's talk about what ComicsGate actually is.
Because like these people have been around for a while. They've had their opinions for a while. They've been saying them for a while. So it's not like ComicsGate is those people or their opinions or whatever. It's it's like a congealing of them around, as far as they can tell, around harassing other comics creators because they don't agree with the product that they're making. Mm. So the first instance of that happening, that was as widely... I'm sure it's happened many times before that, but...
That's what Todd does at Marvel, right?
October 27th, 2016, Chelsea Kane... She did this cover in response already to harassment she was suffering for writing Mockingbird, but for the cover of Mockingbird issue 8, which is the final issue where she decides to leave Marvel because she can't handle the trolling anymore. But Mockingbird is wearing a shirt that says "Ask me about my feminist agenda," and so that was in response to a lot of harassment she was receiving, and she also received a heap load more after that. And then the hashtag stand with Chelsea Kane started.
Right.
That was before the milkshake?
That was before the milkshake. So the milkshake incident happened. So that was October 27, 2016. July 23rd, 2017, Flo Steinberg dies at 93.
Right.
5 days later, Heather Antos goes with a bunch of, you know, Marvel staffers at the, you know, in tribute to Flo, go to her milkshake spot. And
we're not just going to call them females.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
We're just going to move. I just want to acknowledge them. You know, they hashtag Fabulous Flo.
Right.
And for some reason, a lot of male comic readers, like, you know, and the thing is, it doesn't come out of nowhere. It appears to come out of nowhere with these incidents that don't think they would elicit any kind of rage or anything.
Right.
But they, you know, when they see women creators or women professionals in comics,
right,
in particular, it angers them. And they, you know, they're women, for some reason, seem to be an easy target because they, while they do say things and make comments and harassment that is racist, they haven't necessarily jumped on top of someone specifically for their race yet. It's mostly just been female victims, which is kind of really unfortunate. And trans victims. I have a list of victims. So the, you know, July 28th.
So what is it? So I'm going to break this down to make it as simple as possible. So we're talking about just trolls here? Is that all we're talking about?
It's pretty much an amalgam of trolls. And so, but it centers around some central figures that right after the Heather Antos Fabulous Flo incident, and then all the trolls just started jumping on him, this YouTube channel called Captain Cummings starts spiking in views and subscriptions, like, instantly, just massively. And it seems to be this, like, congregation point for all the trollish behavior and the people who agree with the people who are harassing all the female creators and everything.
Interesting.
And so then there's... During this period, there's a lot more victims. It's over the course of another year, pretty much. And you might know more victims than I do, Todd. But a short list is.
Can I? We use that word victim rather
victim of harassment
loosely. But I mean, let's put it this way. I mean, we're talking. The reason why I'm trying to make making a difference here. We're talking about people that are verbally speaking to these guys on the internet, right? We're not talking about people that are visiting their homes, knocking on their doors, and verbally harassing them.
No, we are. I mean, these people are visiting these other professionals at conventions, and they're harassing them in person at conventions.
Gotcha.
And they're threatening them with violence too.
Okay.
On both sides.
That has been verified for?
Yeah, I mean, there's been articles about
crazy.
This.
Well, it happens at conventions. They're very public incidents.
Wow.
But a lot of them. Since they don't involve the main players on the... So the pro Comics Gate side is, you know, this YouTuber who started with the Heather Antos thing. And then Ethan Van Scryer, who... what company does... Is he just...
He's DC.
He was with DC, right?
He's done a lot of Green Lantern stuff. He did Flash Rebirth. He did a lot of Green Lantern stuff. He did... I think he even did like a bunch of like The Darkest Night. Mm. He was really famous for the Cyber Frog indie comic that came out in the 90s, and then just kind of worked his way up, and then worked his way into mainstream superhero comics. And he's gone on record as saying, like, well, you know, like I sort of agree with some of the things that, you know, Richard C. Meyer says. I'm not a Nazi. I'm not a white nationalist. I'm just a Republican. Like, and people are attacking me from the other side of the aisle for my political views, and they're saying that I'm all these horrible things, and I don't agree with any of the horrible things that these people represent either.
Right.
So while there are probably some fans out there that do, very small percentage of fans that are white nationalists or they are Nazi sympathizers, he doesn't like those people just as much as the people that are attacking him for being those things.
Can I butt in really quick? They're such a non-factor there. They're less than 1% they have no effect on any type of conversation that anyone is having because they're all idiots that claim.
Well,
that.
They're actually the main impact of Comics Gate because...
But they're so small, though. I mean, we're talking less than 1%. It's ridiculous.
Well, the thing is, you know, it would be
it's
a really...
It's always the loudest groups that make the most noise.
Right. It's always the smallest group that make the most noise. Agreed.
It would... But the you know, you don't see a lot of denouncing of that. As much as Todd's saying he, you know, finds offense to being lumped in with them, you don't see a lot of denouncing from Ethan Van Squire of the people who are carrying his banner and, you know.
Well, they just made him. He just made $500,000 off of these people for to
a new comic on Kickstarter, right?
Yeah,
and that's part of the toxicity. Indiegogo. Is you can say you're not doing those things and these people are fringe, but you're also not denouncing them or distancing yourself enough from them, and you're actually giving them a forum for their viewpoint.
It's the same reason that Trump says he can't say that Nazis are bad, because a lot of Nazis voted for him.
First of all,
it was a joke.
I know it's a joke, but what I'm saying is, like, that's the kind of stuff that people can't deal with. Like, when you lump them together just because they don't agree with you, it's all of a sudden you're
okay. Back to Comicsgate, as a nebulous, it's not these individual people, but as you'll see, as the history moves on, they start to own Comicsgate and become part of it. So
let's see what else we got.
I'm not really being unfair to them when I'm giving you these appraisals, but more victims, Magdalene Visaggio, who is a trans woman who...
Creator.
Got a lot of harassment directly from the Comicsgate standard bearers. Tess Fowler, Kwanzaa, Oga Jeffo, Gail Simone, definitely. I see a lot. People are harassing her on a daily basis. Actually, September 9th, which is the day before, you know, when I was taking notes for this.
Oh, you mean a couple days ago?
Donald DeLay picked a side and decided to write something misogynist about Gail Simone.
Mm-hmm.
And Gail Simone's been one of the most outspoken... opponents of Comicsgate. Same with Bill Sienkiewicz and all that. And then also some journalists from Bleeding Cool have been targeted for harassment, Judge Terror and Joe Glass. So fast forward to this year, there's a year of harassment. There's more victims that I'm not listing and more participants on the other side, on the Comicsgate side, that I definitely haven't listed. But, in August 21st, 2018, one of the Comicsgate guys, is this Richard T. Meyer, I think, declares that Darwin Cook would have been pro Comicsgate.
Yeah, and Richard T. Meyer is he's kind of the one that really has been sort of stirring up the storm with Diversity in Comics, is the name of his YouTube channel. And he, for a long time...
And so Diversity in Comics, that YouTube channel, more so than the Captain Cummings, is the centrifuge for Comicsgate. And kind of purifies it. Diversity in Comics is what people would hashtag before Comicsgate to state their displeasure with
the current state
diversity
of the comic
in comics.
Right,
they didn't like it.
Right. For a long time, he went by a pseudonym. So when he came out, they finally had found like his they found out what his name was, and
you don't know what that pseudonym was.
I think he was like, "Hey, it's your boy Zach," I think is what he would always call himself while he'd flip through the comics on YouTube. And then they figured out who he was, and they and then this was a big thing, I think, with Mark Wade. I think Mark Wade was like, you know, Richard C. Meyer, I want you to find me at Baltimore Comic Con. And this happened in 2017. And that was the last big dust up before the Jawbreakers dust up, and then the big thing.
Well,
since
so Jawbreakers is written by Richard C. Meyer, right?
Co-written
by Richard C. Meyer. It had a very successful Indiegogo, which raised almost $500,000. It was like $400,000.
I've got it written down right here. Right now, Jawbreakers as of today is $392,951.
One of the first comics to be published under the Pro Comicsgate banner explicitly.
Yeah, and it's also it's written. Jawbreakers is the other two creators. There's, I think, a husband and wife, or maybe a brother sister team. They've got the same last name. They're called the Breitweisers, and then another creator, Pellegrini. They're the big thing that he is. Richard C. Meyer is writing is a comic book called Iron Sights, and right now on Indiegogo, that's made $119,424.
And what can be really deceiving about these is because you're talking about like substance in comics, and that should be the basis for what makes a comic succeed, and not the story or identity politics, as you want to call it.
Right.
But that's precisely what's making these so successful, is the people aren't jumping on these to fund them to such massive amounts because they're excited for the content of these comics. In fact, nobody could tell you. I mean, I can tell you the two sentence breakdown of what is it, Jawbreakers is about. But beyond that, I don't know what it's about. I don't know anything spectacular. I don't know what makes it good. But the reason that it's supported is because it rides on this wave of this toxic fan base that is defining itself by what they don't want in comics. And a lot of those people aren't even comics readers who are supporting it. They're supporting the politics of it. And that's why it's so successful. Because...
Yeah. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But it's, I mean, it's interesting that these... There's also a market for it now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's a market for it, of course. But, you know,
and,
I don't want people...
And the people that aren't comics readers that are supporting this because of its political agenda, it's creating new comics readers. Or
it is creating new comics readers.
Or maybe not readers, but definitely buyers, you know?
It's like a deal with the devil kind of thing. It's like, I'm going to give you new more readers, but... They're all going to be racist and intolerant.
Well, I don't... Okay. Exactly. As a man who's looking out from the outside in, I don't understand what is wrong with a different point of view in comics. When did it become
not
okay?
That's not what's wrong with it. That's not what's wrong. The thing that's wrong with... If you notice, through my entire history of Comics Beat, yeah. I haven't yet stated anything about the substance of comics. I've only stated instances of harassment and counter-harassment and things like that. This Comics Gate really is just an amalgam of those incidences and has nothing to do with the substance of comics. These people who claim that they want just to, you know, impact on the substance of comics, like, you know, Chuck Dixon, which he just founded a new comics company called Cautionary Comics. Their first advertisement had hashtag Comics Gate in it, as if to say, we're starting this comics company in support of Comics Gate and what it stands for. As of last week, that same post doesn't have the Comics Gate hashtag because I think they're realizing that the association is toxic. Chuck Dixon's a great creator. We all know and like him. He's a known conservative creator.
He created Bane for...
He created Bane.
Yeah.
He did a very good run of Nightwing and Robin. But he also complained a lot of being discriminated against for being conservative in the comics industry.
Right.
Which is probably also warranted. But he, I think instances where he's been hurt by things that's happened to him has caused him to go further over to the side of Comics Gate. And, I haven't heard him any articles or anything directly speaking to him about the phenomenon. But it's clear that he's starting to side on the side of Comics Gate.
Yeah, and I guess my thing is that when looking at it from the outside in, you know, when you get your face pushed in the dirt and everything that you do or say is racist, sexist, misogynist, when that stuff comes up and there's never any substance to the argument just because he's quote-unquote conservative, and when you look at him as Chuck Dixon...
Well, that's the thing, is it's like, the majority of people, like you're saying, the majority of people don't think that about Chuck Dixon. Yeah. I don't think that. Yeah, I think he's a great comics creator. I know he's conservative. Yeah. I don't know the behind-the-scenes politics.
A lot of the... That never comes into the conversation about comics.
Right.
When you're talking about Chuck Dixon comics and the things that he's done for Nightwing or for Batman, it doesn't matter whether he's Republican or Democrat. You're never going to base your criticism of that comic book on whether he's Republican or not. But Richard C. Meyer and some of the other people that represent this alt-right crowd that – don't like
also
Chuck diversity.
Dixon got banned by Marvel. That's something I didn't know.
But the
management at Marvel is also very right wing now. So it's
they contributed a lot of money to the Trump campaign. What I'm trying to say is that you never hear.
Do I clap now for that or wait? No,
you
kidding.
Should wait. You never hear. You never when you we're not talking about the we're. What people are taking issue with is that we shouldn't have homophobic or transphobic comments or racist comments from anybody when we're talking about the actual substance of a comic book. You shouldn't go through
First thing they talk about. I think it's very important to state that we're talking about people being... you know, racist or disinclusive, but the majority of the victims and the majority of the harassment is just based on men towards women from the Comics Gate side towards the anti-Comics Gate side. So, I mean, that can't be overstated enough that it's like a really misogynistic movement.
But to be quite honest, whether you like it or not, comic books are political by nature. If you think about it, when
nothing's
you look at,
political by nature.
I think they. I think comics are. If you think about it, the way. I mean, look. We do know that most of these creators in the beginning created these for kids, right? That when you have some. Listen.
In the beginning,
from
1939 to 1938.
Well, I was talking. Well, I'm talking about when I was speaking to Harry Donenfeld, a good friend of the show's. He was telling me that you know these creators that he grew up with and knew were making these for an audience of children. But then all of a sudden, you know, when you have a character like Superman that stands up for the right, or the truth, justice in the American way, or someone like the vigilante that is Batman, or what have you, those are regardless of whether you like it or not, those are political statements that you're making, right? I mean, even if you don't think of it that way, they are. That's what they've become. So, I mean, especially in this political climate.
Yeah, but that's less. I mean, that's more of like. That socio-political philosophy.
Correct, socio-political.
It's not political propaganda.
At its heart, correct.
Which is what the people who are clamoring for Comics Gate Comics is like. Why isn't our comic like 1950s, good wholesome white American propaganda? That's what I want my comics to look like. You know, I want my
Spider-Man to be Peter Parker. I want him to be male. I want him to be white. And that's what Richard C. Meyer is saying.
I don't think anybody's ever complained that Miles Morales was. I mean, when it first happened, I don't think anybody complained.
But that's exactly what they complain about.
What Richard C. Meyer says when he
a lot of the people
reads
who,
comics.
That's the other thing about comics
on YouTube.
Is
interesting.
A lot of people do believe in the things that the Comicsgate people say they believe in because they sound like. You know, very interesting, debatable points. But what they do is different than what they say. What they do is they harass people based on race and gender. And so that is not what they're talking about philosophically on comics. So if you want to have a philosophical debate on what is worthy to be in comics and discussed in comics, which should be everything and anything, that's fine. But Comics Gate is taking on this facade of trying to open up comics when really what they're trying to do is close it off.
See, and I think that's where I think I come in an impasse.
And a lot of people in what I was trying to say is a lot of people in Comics Gate, you know, start off just on their own philosophical bent,
right.
And they start thinking, you know, I don't like being told what should be in a comic. I don't want to include diversity just because somebody thinks they should be represented.
Exactly.
And I'm angry that I had to be told to do that and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, nobody, you can be whatever about whatever. You can feel whatever you want to feel. Nobody's stopping you from feeling that way.
Right.
But so that's why they get into Comics Gate and they don't understand that these resentful feelings and everything are shared with some of the worst kinds of people, and that what Comics Gate really stands for is the toxicity and the harassment
and the intolerance
and then the people who had aligned themselves with Comics Gate start thinking better of it because of that.
But
I think there's a lot of people on that side that are like, I wish my comics were more traditional the way that I believe they should be more traditional, and they should represent things that I know and understand.
And I don't think it's intolerance either, to be quite fair, because I think when you look at it from the other end of the issue, I think it's trying to push back on the intolerance of the other side. And what happens is when you push that way, all of a sudden you get pushed back.
Nobody's going to feel bad for a white middle-class person.
But that's what I'm saying. This is ultimately where this conversation ends up going.
Well,
like,
so the,
nobody
I mean,
wants
like,
to be feel
if
bad
you,
about
but
it.
If, I mean, if you take it to the ultimate end, you're in the same class. You've got people in the same class fighting about things with each other, and they're all being
discriminated against
the government, the political class. Like the reason that they're fighting about this is because the government wants them to fight about. They want them split between those political lines. They want them to be fighting with each other so that they don't realize what the people in power are actually doing.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't think there's that much of a brain on the Comics Gate movement.
I don't either.
But I don't think it's Comics Gate. But I think that's the way it's manifesting itself. I think that's the climate.
That's the other thing. And so that's the other thing about ComicsGate is it's not just when the incidences of harassment started in 2016, but it goes back further to the birth of the massive use of internet in the early 2000s and to current day.
Right, right, right.
And there, you know, just the way that people have interacted. And you're right, when people in power will relish in the division because it, you know, it creates friction and whatever, you know, that can be used easily.
I think, well, like I said off the air, and I kind of, when you artificially try and put diversity into comic books, artificially say like, okay, well, hey, listen, I think Superman.
But it's not artificially because there's no, that's representative of the majority of people that exist. They're trying to appeal to new comic book readers, and that's always happened. Like, people are saying that this is like historically inaccurate, but like going back to the 60s, you've had Stan Lee and you've had Jack Kirby and Marvel saying, look, we've got three or four white people over at DC. What can we do, and how can we appeal to the wider audience? And they created people like Black Panther. They created people like Luke Cage. And this is just for Marvel and DC up into the 70s.
And so imagine if diversity in comics had existed when they came out with Spider-Woman and Supergirl,
right,
and Ms. Pac-Man. And it's, you know, it's about – it really – representation is not a bad word. People deserve to have.
I don't think it is either. I don't think anybody's had an issue with that by any stretch. I mean, you know, we've never had pushback for Spider-Woman for Batwoman, excuse me.
But we would if. But the thing is, that's what Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, which there is pushback for. She represents what Spider-Woman represented in the 70s. My Spider-Man's a man. Why? What's this Spider-Woman crap? Ms. Pac-Man, why you got to put a bow on her head?
All right, well then,
Pac-Man's a guy.
Let's take it to the end.
That is the exact equivalent.
So if we were to take it to the other end and some guy at Marvel said, what if we made Black Panther a white guy? Okay? Do you not think there'd be pushback all of a sudden? What are these guys doing? It's the same pushback.
That's not the same pushback.
I think it's the exact same thing.
Black Panther, you could.
You could do that.
You could do
there
that.
There are white people in Africa, are there not?
I think not there naturally.
I'm
would
just
be,
saying, though.
The native white people of South Africa.
Right.
Thank you.
The Germans. So I think that, you could do that, and I don't think that they already did. Marvel already did that by making Captain America, who is the symbol of American freedom and democracy, basically a Nazi, by making him part of Hydra.
Hydra, right?
And so, and there was a tremendous pushback. That's the opposite of Captain America. Hydra is Nazi adjacent and totally is fascist and represents all kinds of racism and the Third Reich.
And the fact that Captain America just happens to be this big super soldier with blonde hair and blue eyes, and he, you know, he has the luxury to say Hail Hydra, even if it's a clever... No, I'm
That's
serious.
True.
Like,
no, you're right.
You know
it's
what
very
I mean?
True. You're right.
He's very
luxury.
Aryan.
Well, can we just say the privilege, maybe?
The privilege.
White privilege right. to say Hail Hydra.
So it's, you know what I mean? It's
Like I said, though, my thing is that once you get pushed in the dirt for the last 12 years saying that you're white privilege, you're horrible white people, there's going to be pushback. I believe that there were absolutely.
Well, there are people that believe that, but they're a part of the same class that they're fighting against. They're not fighting. Nobody is pushing white people into the dirt more than the government.
No. What I'm saying is, though, you guys aren't listening. What I said, when people feel that way. You understand
what
I mean?
Yeah, but that's the, okay, fine. But
well,
still,
here's the other thing is that's why I'm saying is because that's them feeling that way.
Right.
And, I mean, that's up to you if you're going to feel that kind of
Correct.
Way. But if you have an objective reality and understand the privilege of being an American, even though privilege is a dirty word, and, you know, there is such a thing as white privilege out there, but just the privilege of being an American versus everywhere else in the world, that we have the privilege to discuss things so freely like this
Absolutely.
Without worrying about getting killed for our beliefs, well, I mean... There and the fact that we have so much privilege that we can be acute about the levels of privilege that different people have.
I believe in American privilege, not white privilege, though.
White privilege exists.
I'm not a fan. Don't believe it.
I believe it because when I pass as white, I experience more privilege. And I can enumerate the many instances when I lived in the mainland. But when people did not identify me as white, when they saw me as half Japanese, I experienced less privilege. It is a directly quantifiable phenomenon.
Hashtag white privilege is a myth. I'm hashtagging that right now. That's the name of the show. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not
seen it from every side of it.
I'm not a huge believer.
I understand
it. I think
it's
baloney. But I will
say
this.
It's not baloney, but it's also not something that you – the other thing is – when, you know, when the right wing side says stop being a baby and don't make a victim of yourself,
yeah,
another part of me says, you know, that's the problem is, the right wing says things that are true that are easy to agree with if you're agreeing with them on their face. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be a baby. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Suck it up. Who cares if people are mean to you? Nobody needs to be dragging your dead weight crying ass around.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, it's like you don't have to be heaping on the harassment and the terrible treatment.
I agree with you
to
there.
Give them the adversity to have to work against.
I agree with you there.
That's your privileged ass thinking you are able to dump that crap into someone else's life, and you're not. That's not your right.
Fair enough. I agree with that. And I think that the other side is also guilty of that as well, for sure. But I think ultimately, though, I think ComicsGate is, to be quite honest, I don't think ComicsGate is even – it doesn't seem like it's an actual thing per se. You know what I mean? It seems like it's in the climate we live. Everybody kind of picks a side, and it's either you're one way or the other. I don't know why we can't. Why it's okay to be? It's
well,
okay
look,
to
the,
not
the
agree
thing,
with everything.
The thing is, even the kernel of the argument, which seems benign enough, starts with some assumptions that if you don't analyze them, can snowball quickly. Which is
right.
Why you seem to get upset when we talk about the fact that there's always been a push for a diversity in comics instead of having, you know, your bread and your milk
toast, milk, stuff,
whatever.
What
yeah,
I got you.
Wonder Bread superheroes that are generic and white and predominantly male and whatever.
I don't think it's that because I was a huge fan of Luke Cage. I mean, when I was growing up, I never had those issues. But I mean, it's just what I'm seeing now as somebody. And like I said, this is no big surprise. From a guy who actually is on the conservative side, what I see is just a lot of artificial injection of diversity into something that doesn't require it.
Well,
so,
I think that's what I'm seeing.
Where's the artificial injection? Because we're talking about a natural representation for people who look for their representation.
No.
What portion would be qualify as artificial?
What I'm saying is you're taking existing characters, right? And you are injecting diversity into them. What we're saying is that if there are characters that you want represented, create them. Okay, if you're a creator, create them.
Well, we're also talking about mainstream comic companies, which do create characters, but often by creating the legacy of existing characters, mashing up existing characters. There's nothing very original about working at Marvel or DC for the past couple of decades.
I don't think any of these.
So
no one was upset about Superman being Chinese. I don't think anybody was upset that John Stewart was Green Lantern. I didn't see the outrage for that. You know what I mean?
There was a little bit of outrage when they made the next Green Lantern, Kyle
Rayner,
gay. There was a little bit of outrage when they made. Actually, I've heard outrage from Chinese people that don't like Chinese Superman.
See, Kyle Rayner was part of a different universe, so therefore I can I can live with that. You know what I mean? That's fine. He's part of a different universe. He's a part of a different universe in the DC Comics universe. So I can live with that.
I don't see that this is an artificial representation of diversity. I think that it's just a representation of diversity. And I think that representation of diversity has manifested itself in a lot of different places, a lot of different times. And I think that the fact that these characters are taking main stage is
sure.
What people are taking most offense over. I think that there's language and reading on, and I've read Bounding Into Comics, which is the alt-right website.
I've never seen that yet.
Yeah.
Is it cool?
It's all right. But, I mean, there's language on both sides that is extremely defensive. And they're always using those types of derogatory terms for their opponents. I think that you should really just get these people face to face, and then, and then that way maybe they won't be so derogatory towards one another, and then you could probably get them to
right
and it really
collaborate
and so the,
on something that would make both people
the
happy.
Lack of decorum always seems to be on the Comicsgate side. It always seems to be on the people who are also against diversity.
I think everybody becomes a little ugly when this kind of conversation comes
not up. If you go through the internet history, I have never seen Gail Simone speak out of turn or even swear at these people who are, you know, Donald DeLay of Image Comics, an artist at Image Comics, tweeted at Gail Simone
and
commented on
her
body.
I like women thick. He listed a bunch of people and then his wife. And then he said, no fatties like Gail Simone or something like that, which was really rude. And I think that he probably thought it was funny. And
I'm over here chuckling, but those are things like I just don't like. I can't believe we live in a day and age when stuff like that affects people. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I think it's different.
Put it this way. Before the internet existed, adults never had a forum to playground talk. Everyone grew out of it. We left it at the playground and it never got uttered again because as an adult, if you had said anything that we had said on the playground to my face, knowing what I know now as an adult, I'm just going to punch you in the damn face because right. That's the correct response. And kids are too innocent and sweet to know the correct response. So
I don't think
the correct response is violence
when you are. I don't think that's the correct response. But I will say this. I think we live in a very different in Hawaii. We live in a very different climate. I mean, because I tell you what.
Okay, look, well, that's when Kaimana Yamada brings up a good point. Is like, well, to be fair to G, growing up in Hawaii as a white person, you can see why G would say that it's difficult to see white privilege since there's anti-white racism in Hawaii.
Yeah, there is. And on the top of that, too, Kaimana, I don't know if Kaimana knows this, I'm also half Filipino. So I'm literally, so it's just one of those things where people don't know what you are. But on top of that, too, I mean, you could say that a lot of the things that go on here in Hawaii, even. Let's take Amakua, for example. Amakua, if you were to read that comic, great comic by a bunch of great local artists, if you were to pick that up as somebody outside of this culture, they would think that would be inappropriate. Some people would
actually
think
Chris has dealt with Chris people dealt with that. Commenting on the nature of some of the stereotypical. But the other thing is, some of the representations could be taken as stereotypical, but also have come from Chris's real life experience as well. So it's
like,
you know.
Right, so he's like, this is based on a guy I know from a town that you probably have never been to.
Right. So let's put it, let's look at it that way, because when we have so many cultures here, we don't look at race and.
Unless you're a dumb howling.
Thank you.
You're
breaking it down.
I want to pitch Chris on a howley like Amakua. I want to call him the White Death because the only good howley is a dead howley.
That's the tagline.
Yeah, he's like the Crow.
And to be fair to Todd, and speaking of Todd, I don't think that there
because I'm using my white privilege so that people will be fair to me.
Right. No, what I'm saying is to be fair to Todd. Todd writes a book predominantly. His most popular comic is the Kukui Project about Hawaiian people. Okay,
which is extremely anti-American.
Right. Exactly. it is extremely.
Yeah.
But on top of that, though, you're writing about a culture you know very little about because you are not Hawaiian, right?
Well,
so should you be ostracized from the group for not being able
now
to write
you're,
it?
Now you're doing equating because you're trying to do the devil's advocate thing
right.
of saying that someone who's not from a specific culture can not know that culture.
That's what I'm saying. It's such a ridiculous argument. I think
it's not, but the other thing is it's not a ridiculous argument. Everybody keeps on trying to take these and run over the goal line with the ball.
Like,
there is no goal line.
I think Christopher Priest said it best, is that like the demarcation that you guys have got to make is that you've got white creators writing fiction that are of a different ethnicity or a different gender, and they're basically basing these characters on all the stereotypes that they've grown.
But they don't realize that a lot of that stuff is stereotypical. Yeah. They're just being inundated with different forms of media. And not having the tools to decipher, not having an authentic experience with some of these cultures to understand that some of these representations are by people who have also not had authentic experience with the culture, and they don't have the acumen to discern between the
and
two.
His point is just do some research. Like if you just did some research, you would understand a little bit more about black culture, and then you could if you just elevated that character above and beyond those types of stereotypes, then. Not only would probably, a white Caucasian would enjoy that character. Like the ethnicity that you're writing about. He was writing about, I think he was writing about Black Panther. But that was one of the things that he was saying, was like, it's okay for people from somebody of a different gender and of a different race to write those characters of a different gender and a different race, as long as you just do your research.
Yeah,
and like you don't base it on any kind of.
I wish that were the case, because it doesn't feel that way. I feel as if.
Well, I think you're saying that if, you know, once you move beyond it and give the person a chance, that they should everything they do should be allowable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still possible to be called on, especially subconscious bias.
Sure, sure.
That sneaks its way into your writing.
Right.
It's okay for the people who have had those authentic experiences, who have the tools to tell the difference, to be able to call you out on it.
Mm-hmm.
Really like you to tell me what specific instance I have been stereotypical in Kukui Project.
Kukui Project, issue 1, page 1.
Okay.
No, right. What I'm saying, no, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, though, is that the day and age we live in, it seems as if Todd, we can't give him the due deference. So he can't write it because he's not coming from that.
But nobody said that.
No, but
nobody's ever approached me and said it.
Actually, somebody has. Don't lie. Well, people have said, "Oh, you're white." That's something that comes. It's always a white guy.
It's always a white guy. It's always a white guy.
Exactly. But thank you. Exactly my point. It's everybody so sensitive.
They're the worst.
Hey, a friend of the show, DJ Cavicani, writes about his Exilion book. He's a Hawaiian guy. Is it not, you know, living in this day and age, should he not be able to write about that? No, of course not. That's ridiculous. You know, we should give him due deference because he's doing the research.
And Exilion is a fantastic
book. Exilion's a great book.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure DJ's never been a white guy in the Middle Ages.
That's right. Never has. Never will be. So, but I'm pretty sure, but I mean, like.
Has he? Did I just make a fool of myself? Yeah,
it seems as if this conversation
It's 88 miles an hour wind over on a big island. He's able to go back to the future.
It just seems to me like,
well,
these
also
are
if you fart,
so,
burp, and cough, you travel
so
back in time.
So ridiculous. These kinds of arguments seem so trivial when we don't just pay attention to the talent behind it. And I mean, there is. I will admit,
you can't balk at the people who have that reaction, yeah, because there is, if someone isn't Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the other thing. There's Hawaiians who've grown up on the mainland who have zero connection with their culture.
Right.
And then, you know, you might have, you know, I've met white professors. This guy, Ron White Jr., is an incredible Hawaiian scholar, and he's Haole. And
is that the son of the comedian?
No.
Tater Salad Jr.
Tater Salad Jr. But, you know, to discount him just based on his race would be, you know, a travesty because of his wealth and knowledge. So it really is just about examining things on merit. But then when you say something like examine things on merit, a bunch of people who have zero merit start chiming in.
Exactly.
You're saying exactly, but they're the people on the Comics Gate side.
And but you see, but I think guys,
they're like I've read Ayn Rand. I believe in a meritocracy. And I'm like, what do you do for a living, sir? Work at the gas station?
Oh, I thought you were talking about
if the United States was a meritocracy, you guys would, you know.
I think Chuck Dixon is a guy who does have a valid opinion, and I do think that it does mean something.
Yeah,
but I mean, no, I think that there's nothing wrong with the meritocracy. I think if your book is good, and if people buy it, therefore you should.
And they do.
But that's
what I'm saying is these people are getting angry at the comic books that are selling, that are actually doing well, and they're blaming diversity in comics on ruining comics. But really, these comics are selling well. So if you're saying, let's be a meritocracy, then look at the numbers.
Then let's be honest. For those of those liberal comic book shop owners, be brave enough to carry stuff you disagree with and see how it does on your shelves. Don't censor it by not carrying it, but they are censoring it and not carrying the comics. I don't think it – they have every right to do so, but
are
I
you
don't
talking
think
about,
it's
right. Are you talking about Jawbreakers and Ironside and
Comics
Gate Comics?
Talking
nobody
about
is censoring those comics.
No. I'm going to – I don't think anybody's censoring. What I'm saying, though, the comic
here's
book
the other,
shop
so
owners
the other,
are predominantly saying no to those comics,
no,
and not carrying them.
We don't even have a choice to say anything to those comics, but I'm going to say something about
that. Okay, go ahead.
Is right now, they're, you know, all comic stores get their new comics through Diamond. If you don't get your comics distributed through Diamond, it's not really up to us as a comic store to carry it. It's difficult for, like, independent creators. I carry local and Hawaiian creators because I have access to them. I can talk straight to their face. I can get them at a price that makes sense for me.
We talk straight to our face.
I don't want any more of your comics. Seriously.
I don't want any more of your comics.
No, but... So, no, I like your comics. They're all right. They're all right. No, they're
for a white guy.
But, you know, if they're not distributed through Diamond, which none of these Standard Bearer comics are being distributed through Diamond, first of all, there's a lot of pro Comics Gate people who kind of just jump over this logic chain and start harassing comics stores who are, you know, admittedly probably more left-leaning. I know some people who are straight-up Antifa comic store owners on the East Coast. And they make politics a part of their comic store. And so this is almost like the perfect bait and gamble for a Comics Gate guy to walk in a store and be like, why don't you, I don't see my Jawbreakers on your shelf, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And then they, you know, get all hot and bothered to make a YouTube video about it and make, you know, only beg a negative reaction from the, of course, person they know is liberal-leaning.
Sure, sure.
Not knowing that it's not a comic that's going to be available for us to order anyways. But... also,
would they carry it even if it was?
And then the liberal comic store takes the bait and then goes, you're banned from my store for even asking about that comic because I know what that is and I hate it.
That's right.
You know, and so it just turns into this ugly, ugly thing.
I agree.
Well, also, and I think that the other flip side of that is that you're going to buy maybe 20 copies of that comic and nobody is going to buy them. You know, like you can provide those comics and then it's going to... sit on your shelf as this asset that
I agree. Then let it die. If it's not going to sell, then let it die.
Well, then, but then if he's choked his shelves with these alt-right comics, then his comic shop is going to die. He's not going to be able. He's marketing.
And here's the other thing: I also have. That's a big secret, guys. There's a lot of conservative guys that are in the comics shop here. As
what?
And so they ask me about the Jawbreaker comics. And since I'm not a total left-wing Looney Tune nutbag.
Good for you.
We have an informed discussion. I let them know that it's not available through Diamond, so it's not something I'm likely to get. But if they want to order it directly, they can do so. Like, I point them in the direction of the Indiegogos or the Kickstarters, where you can directly order from these companies. The thing is, actually, and this was another part of the controversy, is that Ben Dunn, known conservative, owner of Atlantic, Antarctic Press.
Antarctic Press, yeah.
And, known for properties such as Ninja High School and...
The Tremendous Trump.
And The Tremendous Trump.
Yes.
Somehow he still has tiny hands.
But Jawbreakers almost got published through Antarctic Press and only through incredible pressure by Mark Waid. Now, the other thing is, Mark Waid was also within his right because of what he had experienced at the hands of Comics Gate. Mm-hmm. So he was within his right to protest and use his clout in the comics industry.
Yeah, but Mark Waid has said a lot of vile things himself. So when he gets pushback,
I'm not going to disagree with that. But he used his pull to affect people who had impacted him in his life. You know, it's pretty much tit for tat. It's like you mess with the wrong guy, he's of course going to pull his strings.
Sure.
So they didn't get. They're not available through Diamond because of that. But if a Comics Gate comic was available through Diamond, none of them are at this moment. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, they also kind of are because we buy Flash Rebirth, and it's written by Ethan Van Scrier, and
drawn by
Ethan Van Scrier, and we, you know. So I guess maybe it doesn't have as much
and
of the
ideology,
but at least.
And this is why we miss the. When comic books were a little more puritanical, and it was about heroes and villains, and now we get all of this.
Well, it was much more of a common ground kind of thing, is because, think this is why I don't want to choke your neck every day, even though you did vote for Trump, you filthy animal.
Doggone right, I did.
Is your reverence for these heroes or your feigned reverence? You know, you're a comic fan, right?
Feigning. What are comics?
Well, that's the other thing, is this Comics Gate thing, which. we do this all the time to you as a joke, but it's really a kind of bullying and telling someone their fandom isn't authentic or you're not really a fan of what you are a fan of.
Sure.
Is what Comicsgate has been notorious for, is telling people because they're
that's how
they can't be a fan of the comics. Yeah, you guys are girls. You can't be real nerds. You're fake
geeks.
You're fake geeks. You know, it's just a job to you guys.
I see a lot of girls on Twitch that are a lot of fake gamer girls.
Come on. Well, are they porn bots?
They could be.
but there's also those legit. I've talked to more than a few girls at these comic book conventions that are super into what they're fans of, and they're super fans of, and they have such passion for that, and you can't not respect it. Sure. Like it's.
Well, I'll tell you. Recently, since I've opened the store, I feel like. You know, when people walk in, they have varying degrees of fandom. A lot of people are just dabbling. Oh, I enjoyed comics as a kid. I think I'd enjoy coming back to them. And then you have the people who are hard edge. This is my comic. Every time I see it, I cheer. I recognize everything from this property.
Yeah.
You know, I bathe in it every day. This is what I do. And those people tend to be pretty evenly split between male and female. The kind of people who I would ask for expertise in a comic, like if I didn't know something about a property, like I know I could tell Lindsay, don't you? You could never tell Lindsay she's not a real nerd. She'll like out nerd you and like,
she will.
You know, should just make your head spin. There's just,
she wouldn't have to tell me anything.
Yeah. Format to compete.
That's very, but you know, it's so weird. I mean, we do have to wrap up the Comicsgate talk, but I will say this.
Right,
I find it so fascinating. Aaron. Yeah, well, I find it fascinating. I mean, living in Hawaii is
Portuguese
unique.
Privilege.
Yeah. It's unique for me.
Which is also white.
Only on the mainland.
Yeah.
This whole Comicsgate thing is so unique for me because I grew up in nothing but diversity. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm growing up here is just one of the, it's
wow.
So strange to me. You know,
ooh.
My white privilege brought me to
diversity.
Hawaii.
Diversity.
Apparently.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, there is so many diverse things about, there are so many diverse people living in Hawaii. Everybody's a little bit of everything. And I've never had to deal with any of this diversity crap.
It really is a mainland issue. And the reason
it is
because the communities are so
stratified.
They
are.
Like, and it's, but the thing is, when you know, when you talk about institutional things, like I'm a civil engineer, and so something of great interest is the fact that civil engineering and city planning and the design of a city where a highway or a train was placed.
Only men get those jobs.
Really,
right?
That's another story. I mean, yeah, I mean, it really is a male-dominated field for a lot of reasons, because it's related to construction. But you know, where you put a road or a train divides neighborhoods, and you can look in Boston. Right across the train or the highway is this beautiful neighborhood where there's absolutely no mixing. It's all like, you know, one class of people, usually in the same similar, you know, racial stratum or whatever.
No dogs, no Irish.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and the Irish love to be like, you know, people used to be racist to us.
Yeah,
it's like, not anymore, pal.
The New York Times once wrote that the Italians were lower than
the Italians.
The Italians were, quote unquote, lower than the Negro. They wrote that in their paper.
That's
once.
Terrible.
That's what they wrote.
That's unfathomable.
Yeah, crazy.
Shut
right?
up, G.
I'm no, just
actually, it's not. I know some Italians, so.
One minute, Michelle. Anyway, Dr. Lees, could you wrap up this whole Comicsgate thing?
Yeah, and so basically, I think, you know, as the fans are talking about it, especially, you know, I have conservative comic fans who are coming and asking me about it, and they're, you know, they're kind of nervous about the reaction they're going to get even bringing it up. And so. And that's the real unfortunate thing is because, and I think that's the worst part about Comicsgate is that it makes people feel that either they need to pick a side or that if they start to sympathize with one side over the other, that they'll start to lose allegiances to their friends who they know are not falling to that side and starting to, you know, it's a really unfortunate symptom of just how politics and society is nowadays that you feel like you start sifting down into these little columns until you're isolated into a column with somebody who has everything they should in common with you. And that just, it's just not how things are.
Absolutely.
I think there's a lot.
It's not how things function.
Yes, Todd.
I think there's a lot of false equivocation on both sides. And I think that they're like, well, you think that this is this. And so if you think that this is this, then, you know, you're obviously a homophobe or transphobic or, you know, misogynistic. And I think that, you know, if you just stop using that kind of language in these arguments, that...
Well, and that, you know, that's the other thing is that's to go too lightly on the damage that these people have already done. Is like, well, if you stop being a racist, sexist jerk, then we'll listen to the other comic stuff that you want to tell us.
That's true.
It's like, how about, you know, I think that's the problem with Comicsgate is while some philosophically on some of the things they have to say about comics, they might have a valid point and it might even be worthy of argument to discuss. But I think a lot of their behavior is tied into the philosophy, unfortunately.
I think a lot of people are angry, and I think that the people are acting out of anger, and I think that if they just took a quick minute to calm down and just actually just talk to people, you know, if people just talk to each other without using those so many expletives, I think you could probably get a lot more...
Find a little common ground?
Yeah, a little collaboration, a little cooperation between people.
I sit next to you every week, so I think that's about right. Anyway, listen.
I've never wanted to use an expletive more in my life.
A final thing on this Comicsgate thing. Which side is Trump on? Because that's the one I want to be on.
You know what side Trump's on.
Just kidding.
Trump is underneath it. he's burying himself in it.
Yeah, right, it's like the difference between a garbanzo bean and a chickpea.
Shut up. I know what you're going to say. Knock it off. Well, listen, guys, it's been an absolutely fascinating conversation about Comicsgate. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity, Gene.
Absolutely.
I just feel like it's good to have a...
What do you think?
Stop being dicks. Simple as that.
I agree.
Dick Wolf.
You know, just back on that point, maybe just for something that... Because something that gave birth to the atmosphere of Comicsgate was Gamergate before it. I mean, how were you... Like, how was that impacting your experience with the gaming community? And like,
I game with chicks. Gamer girls are awesome. I don't know if you got problems with girls that game.
Yeah,
I don't know what's wrong with you.
Okay,
I think there's
that's a fair enough answer.
Oh, what do they call them? They call them chesty streamers or whatever.
No, that's not what they call them.
Don't they call them that? They can't do that anymore on Twitch anyway. But listen, speaking of games,
That's going to be the tagline for the new Nerdwatch t-shirt. Stop being dicks.
And it'll have Richard Grayson.
it's gonna have Dick Wolf, executive producer.
Speaking of games.
I just pictured a wolf.
Dun-dun. Format has been busy at work playing the brand new Marvel Spider-Man video game that is a PS4 exclusive. I also have been, but I have yet to finish it. So
I don't know about doing it work. It, I don't know.
Are you doing it well?
It's fun. It was fun.
Okay, is it inspired? Obviously inspired by the comics, but are they taking? Is this a new story or is this something from the comics? How's it?
They're borrowing elements from a bunch of different story arcs, but it's a whole new thing.
Sweet. Now, as a game, because you are the gamer guy, how does it play? Is it worth everyone's time?
The controls are smooth. Things take a while to get used to, but once you get used to the rhythm of the combat mechanics and the like the weaknesses of the different types of thugs, it's a cakewalk.
Well, sorry, what game is this?
Spider-Man.
Oh, so you did play it?
Yeah, I red-boxed it.
So
he finished it.
Holy crap!
So the ending is great.
All
by
this
the way.
Ranting and raving that people
I'm not
are
spoil it though.
Like the story must be great, right? That's written for it.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
And you're saying the mechanics aren't.
It's after a while it gets repetitive.
Okay,
like every other, you know what I mean? I didn't like the fact that we went back to tower climbing to unlock the zones.
It seemed as if it borrowed a lot from other games because I'm playing it as well. It seems like it borrows a lot from Far Cry, a lot from Assassin's Creed, and of course, heavy.
Well,
Arkham,
let me ask this Arkham, because this is what Arkham we're Knight seeing stuff. On the reviews is all 9.5s and 10s out of 10.
That's all early stuff.
Okay.
Like if they were to review it again next month, they'd all be like eights.
Okay, because
high eights, granted.
When Breath of the Wild came out and it was getting 9s and 10s, and I was playing it, I was like, yes. Totally, I agree. You know?
Hey, how's the traveling mechanics? Like, his swinging?
No, it's good. It's good. Do you remember the old NeverSoft game?
Spider-Man 2?
Yeah, so it moves like that, but you don't have to wait for the environment to generate.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's there. It's there. It's solid.
Okay. I was just wondering how the mechanics was on that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm playing it right now, and I have to say that swinging around the city seems – it's so invigorating for me. It's fun. It's very – it's extremely fluid. I really enjoy that. I think the guy who is playing Peter Parker, Spider-Man, is great. Mm-hmm. I think the beginning with the spider cop thing was super cute. I thought that was super funny. Like I said, I'm really early in the game. I started through all the peripheral things. The format finished it. I barely started the story itself, but I'm doing
is
all this.
Is this an open world game or is
yes.
it pretty
yeah,
linear?
Yeah, it's an open world game. So I'm collecting all the backpacks that you have to collect to get new suits.
Yeah, apparently. So the order of that you face the villains is not dictated?
No.
Really?
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, not necessarily.
Do you know nothing about next generation gaming?
Do you have
but
a
the
PS4?
Other thing, I know something about comics and they require a narrative. So it's like, you know, if you run into the Rhino and you're not supposed to run into him.
Do you not have a PS4?
There are segments that are like that, but the open world part, you can chase down different people.
Yeah, because you'll be called upon as Spider-Man to stop crimes while you're in the middle of doing something. And so there, he will either he'll stop a mugging or he'll stop a thief from stealing a car. Kind
The street level thug stuff gets repetitive.
Which
absolutely.
I actually liked.
But there,
about
there are a few nods to like Homecoming that are
nice.
That are.
And that's what a lot of people are saying is this fits in the timeline.
Yeah, this is an older. I know a lot of people were expecting like a Tom Holland Spider-Man, but this is an older Spider-Man.
A very
and the suit, right? No.
That Sony suit is unique.
I tell you what, it's actually, to be fair, the very beginning of the because of this is not a spoiler. He faces off against Kingpin, Mr. Fisk.
I mean, we see that in the previews anyway.
And he's wearing his original suit, so his original suit gets tattered, and he has to make a new one. Mm. Is it too much to add that in the storyline he is? Should I give it away? Well, anyway, I guess I will.
If it's in the beginning of the story, just give it away.
I'm asking and I'm just doing it anyway. He's working alongside Doc Ock, Dr. Octavius, and he's working alongside him. And Dr. Octavius finds out in the lab that Peter Parker is working on a suit for Spider-Man. And Doc Ock, of course, says, "Oh, you're working on that for your friend Spider-Man." And so Doc Ock actually is the man who came up with the improvements for the new suit.
Yeah, like I said, it borrows a lot from the different Spider-Man story arcs. Yeah.
Well, I want to say that kind of nods a little bit, not completely, to the Superior Spider-Man arc where Doc Ock, you know, is Spider-Man and works
so
on
Doc
the
Doc Ock becomes Spider-Man and is like...
Which I didn't like at the
level
time.
Intellect... Why does he do things the hard way?
Right. And I'm very surprised.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Format. I would like to
knock it down a level or two.
Opportunity.
And by the way,
that.
I just want to say that in the chat, everybody is grateful that we went over Comicsgate. They're very satisfied with the topic.
Fantastic.
So I'm glad we went over it.
You know what? I don't care what any of you think. I'm just kidding. I love all of you.
And Carl Amano is asking, Aaron, is there a Moviesgate?
No, there.
Actually, the Moviesgate is continuously ongoing.
We're gonna
hashtag always. Me too.
We're going to get to Aaron here in a moment. But because you finished the game... format, Marvel Spider-Man. I know that you're a huge Monster Hunter fan, and you're playing that right now with a good friend of ours, Aaron Nakahara. Right?
What system are you on?
PS4.
PS4.
Yeah.
Is there cross-platforming on?
Not for Monster Hunter. No. Sony won't allow it.
They also won't allow anybody else to use Spider-Man.
That's right. Do you think this is worth anyone's time? Is this something that they should be purchasing if they are fans?
If they're fans, yeah, definitely. It's definitely a purchase if you're a fan. But if you just want a fun game to play, like over the weekend, Redbox it. $3.
All right, you're a certified movie reviewer. I'm going to ask, what is your rating as to make you a certified game reviewer? Where would you put it?
I'd say probably four.
Out of Four out of five. Oh, okay, there you go. I thought you were gonna go out of 10.
Well, I don't do half stars because that doesn't make any sense. Why would you half a thing?
Well, it originally
either you're all in or you're not. All out.
When you were talking about the game earlier, it sounded like you were giving a pretty low. Before you had played it, you were like, "Why would I even want to play it?" So I was like, "Oh, he's not. He's not gonna praise this game at all."
No. It's a great game. It's a time killer for sure, but the story. I don't know. There's something about the game that it's hard to put my finger on, but it feels like it's missing something.
Can I tell you something that I felt the exact same way you did? I haven't finished it yet, but you know what it feels like it's missing, and it's going to sound real corny and stupid, but it seems like it's missing some kind of soul to the game almost. It doesn't seem to be. I'm not connected to Peter. Or I'm not connected to Mary Jane.
I guess so, because you're just playing through an episode, really.
Well, exactly, yeah.
So
exactly.
That makes sense, I guess.
I don't feel connected.
Wait, Peter's a white guy, though. You love those guys.
Yeah.
He's your favorite kind of
guy.
And
he's a ginger in this, too. At least he looks like it, almost.
Well, the original Peter Parker had freckles.
Freckles
and he was a ginger.
Yeah, he was a ginger for sure. Hey, speaking of gingers.
That's good.
It's time to move on to...
it was not. If you weren't a black-haired Portuguese, you'd totally be a ginger.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to move on to our good friend A-Ron, who is in the house. And A-Ron and I actually went on. Oh no, we didn't. A-Ron and I went to go venture the.
He's the Pippi. No. He's the Pippi Longstocking of the Nerdwatch.
No, yeah, he is. A-Ron decided to go watch a couple movies this weekend. He went to go watch Peppermint, and he went to watch The Nun. I went with Professor Barry.
You see that big hammer of yours there, Thor.
And you guys tried to talk me into going on Thursday so much, and ends up I'm so glad I watched Peppermint first.
So anyway, of course, you can read A-Ron's reviews for those two films on Nerdwatch right now if you are interested. The Nun, of course, is probably more pertinent at this point because of the Conjuring universe. And I tell you what,
the new horror movies just to me, I don't even watch them, and they don't seem that great. I watched, what was the one we talked about last week? The eighth King of Hell or whatever.
Hereditary.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. Heck yeah!
But that is not in keeping with like this Annabelle and Conjuring franchise horror.
Yeah, that's
I
a
don't
whole
understand
different
any
level
of this stuff.
Well,
it doesn't even seem scary.
I tell you what. Well, here's the thing: is that unfortunately, A-Ron and I agree, The Nun is the worst film in the Conjuring series. Period.
Yeah.
It is horrible.
Do they actually have nuns, though?
There is, and that's the problem. Right. It's not just one; it's many, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Oh,
whatsoever.
There's more than one nun.
Yeah.
Yes, there
are
is.
They all scary?
No, they're not. Oh, they're okay. Stupid. They are so stupid. It is a full Indiana Jones adventure with horror elements all involved. It's
yeah.
Full Indiana.
There was like a scene. They started going down the catacombs, and I'm like, when did this turn into National Treasure?
Yeah, right. And they have Mother Mary, the statue of Mother Mary, and a light shining on her finger, pointing the way they need to go. Yeah. And I'm like, what the heck are we watching here?
Yeah.
It's the stupidest thing ever. But anyway.
They needed to know where to go.
Yeah, Mary. That's right.
So
Mary points the way. That's what they said. Mary points the way. I was like, what the? Anyway, it was really dumb. Don't watch The Nun.
Huge mess.
It's a huge mess. It's garbage. Wait for it on video. And
it sounds like you didn't like it.
Be disappointed at home. Trust me. You'll be disappointed.
There's only one good sequence in the whole movie. The confrontation.
The final.
Oh, so you did like it?
No, just that one scene.
You didn't like it?
No.
I hated the
final
confrontation.
As the movie a whole, no. But that one scene was the best thing in the whole movie.
But you liked it.
I hated all of it. Yeah, I hate
it. So you didn't like it?
No, he hated it. Yeah, I definitely hated
it.
No.
It sounds like you're ranting and raving
about it. It was about as good as, say, a Marvel film?
Depends.
Wait,
would you say
it was like Indiana Jones? Because that's what you said.
No,
I wish somebody would hashtag ComicsGate harass Todd.
A-Ron, is it better than Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Oh, no.
Okay, no. There you go. Now you know it is bad.
Is it better than Indiana Jones? Because you guys said it was Indiana Jones.
It
is. So.
Well, yeah, because all of a sudden it turns into like this Indiana Jones National Treasure thing.
It was the weirdest thing. Like all of a sudden, like the priest should have had
a whip. You guys just ruined The Nun for Amy. She was like, oh, I wanted to see it. and this
just watch Indiana Jones.
Isn't it funny how there's some movies that are so bad that you don't even feel bad spoiling them for people?
Yeah, I don't.
Like you guys just broke into the spoiler about it. Right,
I'm just telling you right now, it's absolute garbage.
It's good we're telling them. Yeah,
it's garbage. So it's absolute garbage.
They don't watch it.
Don't even bother. It's the first Annabelle.
You know,
is
I wish somebody
this.
Ruined Swordfish for me.
Yeah. No, I'm so glad I watched that.
Halle Berry's boobs, man.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, so A-Ron.
Say it. Listen, say it.
No, don't say it. A-Ron, you, sir, are the master of hard media. And, of course, we can't have a show end.
I love how you have to remind
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I do.
You!
You, sir, are the master of hard media.
They should have had a light pointing down with
the
finger.
Yeah.
Mary,
points, Mary points the way
are the master.
The master of hard media.
Of hard media.
Sir, what can we pick up this week in hard media?
You gotta stop saying it like that.
Right. Well, too bad Barry's not here because his favorite movie is on Criterion.
Fraggle Rock?
Which is... No, that's next week. Oh. Which is Tree of Life.
Yes.
Which is a very good movie.
It's an excellent film. Did you get a copy of it?
No, I didn't order it yet.
Okay, great.
But they're adding a whole hour back in, so it's pretty much a new cut.
When you get a copy of it, can you give him the digital copy?
There won't be a digital copy. It's Criterion. They don't give out digital copies.
Criterion says screw you.
They said screw me. What else?
It is a show I like, and it's pretty popular. It's called This Is Us. It's a season 2.
Ugh.
It's a good show. Show's all right. I watched a few episodes with my wife.
Melodramatic trash.
Whatever. I mean, it's very trite.
It is.
Totally.
Are there nuns in it?
It's great.
Yes.
There are a few nuns in it.
Sweet.
But there's a lot of like stereotypical identity politics. It's like, well, I'm the gay black dad. it's a lot of that. But I mean, it's a sweet show too. I mean, the ratings all right.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Anyway. So wrong.
Yes, you should go see Christopher Robin.
We're
going to
get
Amy.
TV Gate pretty soon.
There's a couple nuns in Christopher Robin's. Yeah,
speaking of TV Gate, I just started watching Iron Fist. I think I'm up to like episode 2.
And?
I mean, everybody's still like, it's more Marvel content. I'm a Marvel guy, I'm sorry.
I like it.
I heard that it was good.
Oh, you're on episode 8.
I'm too busy.
You've seen masks.
Swan put it on so and then left for work.
Are there costumes and stuff?
I haven't seen any costumes.
My biggest problem is that I am getting so old. That
but where I'm at, there are like 3 Iron Fists now. I'm so confused.
I'm turning on Netflix.
Wow, he grew another arm?
Yeah.
I'm turning on Netflix and true crime stuff is calling my name. So I'm watching like British Murder
the Stairway.
And I'm watching all this true crime
I'm
stuff.
I'm almost done with like, the Ken Burns.
What's wrong with me?
Are there any nuns?
One of them, my sister's keeper or something.
I'm
like
on the
that.
Last episode of the Vietnam Ken Burns documentary.
The Vietnam.
And was it good?
It's incredible.
Really good.
It shed a lot of light on the politics of the time.
He's a great filmmaker.
Yeah,
I think he's a great filmmaker. Yeah, it's interesting as they say, but we can get into that later. A-Ron, what else is coming out of the Tree of Life?
There's 2 older movies getting 4K releases. So you
wait. Was Tree of Life the Tim Burton movie?
No, Tree of Life was the movie by Terrence Malick.
Oh, that's Big Fish.
Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sean Penn.
Sexy.
Mm-hmm. He's got this disease that he gets younger when he gets older or
that's
something.
Right.
Benjamin Button's disease.
And then he goes fishing for shrimp.
Benjamin Button in the Tree of Life.
Lieutenant Dan.
What else is coming out?
You got robot legs, Lieutenant Dan.
So there's 2 older movies on 4K. It's Christine. And Robin Hood with the Ridley Scott.
John Carpenter's Christine?
Yeah.
Wow.
John Carpenter's Christine. And
Ridley Scott's Robin Hood is with
Russell Crowe.
Edgerton?
No. That's the Russell Crowe movie. The new one is not Ridley Scott. That's going to be that's a different director altogether.
Wait,
Taron Egerton,
which is the one that he's talking about?
That's the one Russell Crowe made a couple years ago at Ridley Scott. It was called Cate Blanchett. The older, more seasoned Robin Hood.
Yeah.
What?
That's the one.
So good.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the
It is good,
Adams?
But it's not as good as Gladiator.
Everything I do.
But they're trying to make it epic like Gladiator.
Oh, I do it for you. Anyway, sorry.
Not that one.
Go ahead.
That's not the one. That's what Lico's favorite.
They made other
Kevin
movies?
Costner.
Yeah, I fight for you.
Master of his craft.
I lie for you.
Anyway, for what it's worth, Christian Slater's in it.
Yeah, he is.
He's in the new one? Nice.
That'd be awesome. What else is coming out,
sir?
And
there's 2 of the best releases of the week. One is first one's Hearts Beat Loud.
Such a Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. Nick Offerman is so good in it.
That's right. So, he's in it with a little girl.
Yes.
Yeah, she's Clemens? From that movie Dope.
And they play a
was it Dope? Yeah, she's in Dope. Yeah, she's in Dope.
No, but no, they make a band.
Dope was incredible.
Dope's great.
I love Dope.
Dope's great.
And when I was ranting,
wink.
We all love Dope.
We're all on Dope right now.
Todd, whoa.
Oh,
well, sorry.
I remember when I was ranting and raving about that movie. It was the first time I saw it on Netflix. You're talking about the Netflix movie Dope, right?
Mm-hmm.
About the high school kids, right?
No. We're talking about the actual movie Dope. The one.
It wasn't on Netflix original.
It wasn't a Netflix original. It is on Netflix, but it's not.
But the kids had a band, and they.
No, that's not the one.
That's not the one.
No,
that's not the same one.
That's the one they're carrying around the backpack full of dope, actual dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't have. Did they have a band?
Yeah, they did have a band.
You're right. Yeah, they did. That's right. They did have a band.
You guys didn't watch
that. There's a different movie called Dope?
If
yeah,
you've you got,
yeah, there's like
if you've got, movie if you've dope. Got Dope, you've got a band.
Never mind.
Stop it. Anyway, what else is coming out there, sir?
But Hearts Beat Loud has a Walmart exclusive. It comes with a soundtrack.
Nice.
Which is really good.
Sweet.
Are there any nun movies
that
we're getting?
And then the biggest one is
I think I'm in
a
nun movie.
Really
now.
Good show. It's called Rescue Me. The complete series is being put on Blu-ray.
Oh, with Dennis Leary?
Yeah.
Oh, where he plays a firefighter now.
So good.
Right.
Yeah. I love Dennis Leary because in college we had a VHS tape of Dennis Leary stand-up, mm-hmm. and my friend had written it so poorly in Sharpie that it looked like it said Penis George on the side.
I have heard some interesting – I didn't know this was a thing.
Show.
I always thought Dennis Leary was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then everybody told me that Dennis Leary actually stole his act from Bill Hicks. I didn't know if that was true or not, but it's pretty
interesting. Well, the other thing is Bill Hicks was a giant jerk.
He was?
Everybody who's like, ooh, Lenny Bruce, Bill Hicks, they're real edgelords. I love them from the – if you like them, then you're smart. But if you listen to Bill Hicks, it's basically just 2 hours of him berating his audience, especially the rednecks. He's like, are you guys from the South? Everybody who's from the South is an idiot and blah, blah, blah. And he's just swearing at him.
Agreed.
It's
you shut up.
And I'm like, I'm listening and I'm like, there is almost zero genius in this. Like, everybody's like, he's a visionary, man. And I'm like, he had good taste in music. He had a stage presence. He had a thing. But I detect almost zero genius in what it is that Bill Hicks it's just him berating people that he thinks are stupider than him. Sure. There's nothing impressive about that. His jokes weren't that good.
Richard C. Myers built a YouTube channel on that.
Hey, why don't you pipe down, pal? Pipe down. Yes.
Is it about nuns?
DJ Cavicani, Who's the Man is a great movie. That was directed by Jonathan Demme.
But to answer that, Bill Hicks, Dennis Leary has way more comedy voices and is way more original than Bill Hicks.
Wow, interesting. Okay, fair enough.
I mean, when you listen to Dennis Leary, you could be conservative or liberal and agree with everything he says.
He's a doctor.
And well, especially if
and a firefighter.
Shut up about the doctor stuff, man. I'm talking about 1990s chain smoking Dennis Leary.
Every book he writes is Dr. Dennis Leary.
I don't acknowledge Dennis Leary after 1996. Do you understand me? No Cure for Cancer Dennis Leary, that's who is in my brain.
I was gonna say
I
that.
Agree.
No Cure for Cancer is
hilarious.
Yeah.
It's genius. It's a masterstroke.
It's funny. It's very funny. I agree.
I don't like
is that girl. So? Rescue Me is available.
Yeah,
sweet.
It's a very good show.
There are no Mitch Hedberg.
Very good show. Nice.
I saw him live.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is your hard media for the week.
Lucky you.
Unfortunately, this Comicsgate talk took us over the line of 56 minutes. I swear.
We're gonna do a second show.
Yeah. For 56 no. Minutes? I swear to God, we'll get back.
All hard media.
Next week, we'll get back to 56 minute shows because everybody will be back and it won't be as hectic because of the hurricane and everything. But listen, I think that we opened some eyes and enlightened some people tonight.
We did.
Yeah, I think you guys did some great. Well, I think I did some great work here tonight. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, of course you do.
Of course.
So I gotta tell you.
When did you bring up nuns?
That's right. No, but I think it was fascinating. The Comicsgate talk was wonderful. I wish more people were involved in it. But actually, I really enjoy the fact that it was Jess Todd, Alika, Format, myself, and Amron. So I really do appreciate that. You were definitely here for that.
I wasn't here.
So, and I really want to thank.
I didn't say a thing.
And I really want to thank everybody
really
in the chat. I really want to thank the chat.
I waited until you guys were done, and then I made fun of Night Darkness.
I really want to thank the chat, of course, for the Facebook chat for joining us tonight as well. You guys can also listen to the podcast each and every week on iTunes, on Audioboom, and on Stitcher. And now, of course, on Spotify as well. So check us out there. Like us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. We'll have more episodes, new episodes coming up. I know we missed a few weeks.
You got
a couple
anything
weeks
to plug? Over there, Bernardi's.
Yeah, Bernardi, got anything happening? You went to Rose City Comic Con. We'll talk about that next week.
What, after I get back from Hawaii Con?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then after you get back from Hawaii Con, the next week we'll talk about Hawaii Con.
No, that's okay.
We want to make sure you've forgotten everything about it.
Right.
I saw 5 Carmen Sandiegos.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I knew.
Did you report her? People are looking for her.
They have totally been
looking for her. Oh my God, I found you. This is where in the world you are.
Where exactly? That totally makes sense. So did you have a lot of fun in Rose City?
Mm. Yo, DJ's also making a good point.
What?
You need to upload new podcasts on the website, bro.
Yeah, I know. We got more stuff
coming
up.
Stop slacking.
Hey, listen, I'm not slacking. Unfortunately, my laptop is out. I'm trying to procure a new one. We'll
didn't
get new ones.
Did you just get one?
No, I didn't. I didn't get. I can't get one to the end of the month.
What happened to the Google Chromebook? I
can't find anything to edit it. I thought it would be able to edit. It can't edit. It doesn't have enough memory in it.
Just give it to me. If anything,
maybe
I can play Magic Arena.
Of course you would.
You can play that game on a toaster. It's fun.
But anyway, we'll get more podcasts up. I swear it'll come.
Jay
up.
Is saying, "See you at Hawaii Con, Todd."
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii Con, which looks like an amazing show because
I see how it is.
There's a like the tabletop gamers. He knows we're
you
not going to
see
there.
Us over there, but you'll see Todd. I see.
But
yeah.
You know, Swan is very jealous about Heidi Gygax, the daughter of
Gary Gygax,
creator of Dungeons and Dragons. Gary Gygax, and you know, people are actually going to get to play D&D with her. So that's incredible. I think that's probably one of the coolest things that
I bet
heard
she
of.
Doesn't even know.
Yeah.
The rules.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Her,
she's
her
like,
dad.
Can I borrow some dice? Yeah.
I think we got to get Comics Gate on her.
Yeah. Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Is there a D&D's gate?
Yeah, they just call it Wait. Double. They just call it Double D's gate.
No.
It's all so back to nuns.
Dungeons Gate. Dragons Gate. Ooh. It's a great wrestling promotion. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back next week, same time, same channel, right here at the wonderful place that is Maui Comics and Collectibles.
If it's still standing.
If it's from the storm, if it absolutely is still standing. We thank all of you for listening. We thank all of you for watching. And a new podcast will be uploaded forthwith, okay?
Forthwith. It is live. That's at least a year from now.
Hey, listen.
Forthwith.
You
know.
But so for Todd Bernardi, for A-Ron, for Format, and for...
Since we're already over time.
And for A-Ron? Dr. Super Leaks.
Sure.
Super Daddy Captain
Super
Leaks.
Super Doctor! Captain Leaks. Nice. We are out of time. We'll see you guys next time. Peace out. Much love. And most assuredly, always...
Thank you, Ron.
Stay nerdy. Until next time.
Aloha!